Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 738. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about a mining museum and a reggae festival, the Danube and a love bank, castles and the Carpathians, as we go to Slovakia. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Slovakia. I'd like to welcome to the show Peter and Anna from the Slovak Spectator and the Spectacular Slovakia podcast. Anna's last name is Faye, and Peter, I'm going to let you say your last name yourself because we have erased all of my terrible efforts at pronouncing it.
Also, my last name is Dlhopolec.
There you go. Excellent. Peter and Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're talking today, oddly enough, about Slovakia. Since you're coming from the Spectacular Slovakia podcast, I suspect you may know something about the country.
A few things.
Why should someone... Well, first of all, let's put it on a map, because the last time we did an episode on Slovakia, which has been something like 7 years, we talked to someone who moved to the country and said all of their friends had no idea where this country was. So where are we talking about when we're talking about Slovakia?
So Slovakia is, I would say, dead center Europe. So It borders Austria, the Czech Republic, Ukraine, and... Poland? Is that correct, Peter?
Yeah.
It does. Okay, I have driven from Poland to Slovakia, so I will attest for that. Excellent. And why should someone go to Slovakia?
So from a foreigner's perspective, before I moved to Slovakia, I didn't know much about it, I would say. I actually, funnily enough, I lived in the country when I was a toddler, but it has changed a lot since then. And I think in general, Slovakia, unfortunately, is a very underrated country. I like to think of it as the little engine that could country that a lot of people overlook. But there's so much to see outside of the capital of Bratislava, for example, gorgeous castles, majestic mountains, and a lot of unique UNESCO sites, for example. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely worth a visit.
Excellent. Peter, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I would say that many people, and foreigners especially, they would say that we've got like beautiful women and like cheap stuff, but that's not it. That's not everything.
I mean, you just talked some people into going with that alone, so...
I would agree with Anna. Like, we have beautiful mountains, plenty of castles, and many people come to Bratislava and that's it, and they continue to Vienna or Budapest, but I think it's definitely worth checking out other parts of the country as well.
Excellent. Well, and two things I would say that I know with the little I know about Slovakia. One is we as Americans and people in the West have tended to say that anything that used to be east of the Iron Curtain is Eastern Europe, and that I think is something that Slovakians might bristle at because it is Central Europe. If you look at a map, it is Central Europe. So that's one thing don't say. And also, the country Czechoslovakia doesn't exist anymore and hasn't existed for years. So this used to be part of it, but that's a term not to use anymore because that is obsolete. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, that is true. Absolutely. And also, many people think that we are Slovenia, which is not true. We do not have sea access.
That's okay. They can't put Slovenia on a map either. So... Excellent, which is another beautiful country, but not the same, and different in so many ways. Excellent. Well, what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us for Slovakia?
Well, of course, you have to start in Bratislava, mm-hmm. and most people will likely be flying in from Vienna. And from the airport, you can take a quick bus or train. It's about an hour, sometimes less. I just would warn tourists, if you take the train, yeah, when you see the train station in Bratislava, it's probably not the best first impression. It has not changed much since the 90s, and it could definitely use a facelift. But in a weird way, I find it strangely comforting that no matter how much Bratislava develops, the train station will always stay the same.
Well, and you say they're flying in from Vienna. I think you meant they're flying in to Vienna and then taking the train to Bratislava. Sorry, because Bratislava and Vienna are like an hour apart. So it's not very,
very
far.
Close.
Excellent.
So yeah, when you get to Bratislava, of course, you have to explore the old town. Mm-hmm. Very beautiful. It has the typical cobblestone streets, a lot of really gorgeous buildings from different architectural eras. And they have lovely cafes, sometimes musical performances on the streets. And yeah, it's small enough that you won't get lost, but I would say big enough that there is plenty to do, especially if you want to spend the whole day there. You won't be bored, in my opinion. And then outside of the old town, yeah, there's a lot to do. I think Peter could probably add to that.
Well, before we get to the outside of the old town, let's fill in a little more on the old town. You mentioned lots of cafes. So we're talking about a city that was also part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And so it's not going to look that different to me from Vienna. Is that fair to say?
Fair. Definitely a lot smaller.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. probably not as clean cut, if that's a good way to describe it. Like, okay. I think Bratislava, in a way, has a lot more character. And yeah, outside of the old town, you will see a lot of communist era architecture. But right. I think it sort of adds to the appeal in a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the one thing we didn't say is you're right here on the Danube.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Okay. And in the old town, before we leave the old town, is there a particular place I would start if I'm going to explore the old town and particular things that I ought to see before I leave the old town?
Yeah, so you'd want to start at St. Michael's Gate. That is very much like the main entrance to Old Town.
Okay.
And they also have an interesting museum at the top. And you can also go up to the tower and get an overall view of the town.
You say at the top of the gate?
Yes, of the gate. And yeah, they have this, I believe it's like the City Arms Museum within the tower.
Got it.
It is closed right now due to reconstruction, and I believe it will be closed for a while.
Okay.
Maybe into, yeah, well into the next year.
And when you say the next year, this is being recorded in 2020, so sometime maybe in 2021 it'll open.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And so, yeah, from St. Michael's Gate, you sort of walk through a tunnel to Old Town. And within this small tunnel, they have compass, I would say. And it basically marks a bunch of different European cities and shows which direction they go into.
So this would be the milestone from which all distances in Slovakia are measured. Is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. Yeah, for sure. It's quite remarkable. It's really interesting. The only problem is a lot of people like to stand and look at it, so sometimes there is a bit of a traffic jam.
Sure.
So, but yeah, it's very beautiful. And then from there are a lot of different side streets leading into the main square, for example, and then you can easily get to the Danube. And along the Danube, there's a really beautiful promenade. And yeah, both Peter and I are runners. And I, for example, love to run along the Danube most days. Mm-hmm. Great place to cycle as well. So yeah, Old Town itself, it's a really interesting place to explore. But it's not far away from other interesting points within the city.
Okay. Excellent. And where do we want to go next?
Well, we haven't mentioned the Bratislava Castle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's like one of the historical buildings you'll see like immediately when you come to the city, and you have a beautiful view from there. In the past, it was like a ruin, but over the years, over the past decades, it has been reconstructed, so it looks very new. So I would recommend that if you want to have a beautiful view of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I do not go very often to the old town, just if I have some business to do there. But yeah, I love the Danube River as well. So obviously bridges and Eurovia, which is the shopping center. And I would say sort of like a new city center because it's a shopping mall. But at the same time, you've got a lot of cafes there. And next to this shopping mall, you can see a new building of the Slovak National Theater. So also a lot of culture is happening there. So I would recommend that place as well. Mm-hmm. And definitely you should check out some of those tours on the river, which can take you also to Danubiana, which is this beautiful art gallery on a peninsula. It's still part of Bratislava, but it's so far away, I would say. Like, you can't really walk there. You can take a bus, you can take a car, you can cycle there, or you can take a boat.
Hmm. Okay. And what, you say an art gallery, classical art, or what kind of art are we looking at?
It was opened like a few years ago. It's completely new, just okay. Modern art.
Modern art, okay.
And it looks like a ship.
Okay. All right. Excellent.
Well, I think so. Bratislava, obviously, it's got the old town, but I would say Bratislava is more than just the old town and history. It's mm-hmm. famous for classical music, but also you can do, as Anna said, she goes for a run. So I would say Bratislava is sort of a place for adventurous types as well. So you can go hiking, you can go cycling, you can go running, but you can cycle to a tri point, so where three countries meet, so Austria, Hungary, and Slovakia.
Okay.
I would definitely recommend people coming to Bratislava not to focus just on the old town, but if they're going to stay there for longer, and they should, they should explore also the hills and the places alongside the river.
Well, and you mentioned hiking. And you're both living in Bratislava. Am I correct in that?
I don't.
You yeah. don't? Okay.
I live in central Slovakia, and the town is called Zvolen.
I live in Bratislava, in the old town, actually.
Okay, got it. So you go to the old town much more often than Peter does.
Yes, yeah.
And then I was going to ask, you mentioned going for a hike. If you were going for a hike out of Bratislava, where would you recommend I go?
Well, personally, a hike that I don't think a lot of people know about is the hike to Paestun Castle. It's more so ruins than a castle, but it's mm-hmm. still very remarkable looking, like they're very much still intact. And basically, this castle is hidden by the forest. So the starting point I take is from Železna Studienka, which is a really popular park, very large as well. And basically, there are a lot of trails that lead into the small Carpathians. So from Železna Studienka, you can hike to Paestun Castle. It's about a 3-hour hike or so. But you can also drive to Stupava, for example, which is a borough just outside of Bratislava, and start there if you want to shorten the hike. But yeah, it's really cool. You go on this hike down some trails, and then the last 20 minutes or so are up a very steep trail. And then you just happen upon this like amazing castle ruin with really lovely views of Austria, for example. So it's a great hike, and I don't think a lot of people know about it.
No, it looks interesting. Hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Where to next? Is there more we want to do in the Bratislava area?
Well, I suppose you could go to what we call the UFO Tower. So that's
okay.
Yeah, that's attached to the SNP Bridge, which was built, I believe, in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, during the construction of this bridge, they did tear down a lot of the old Jewish quarter, mm-hmm. and including a synagogue. And there's actually a memorial marking where the synagogue used to be. But yeah, this bridge basically, it goes across the Danube, of course, and then there's this tower attached with this UFO-type structure on top where they have a restaurant, and then above the restaurant, they have like a lookout platform.
Okay.
So you can either choose to eat in the restaurant, and then you have free access to the platform, or you pay, I believe it's maybe €7 or so, and then you take the elevator all the way up to the platform, and you can get a pretty cool view of the city. The thing is, when you live in Bratislava, once you do it once, you don't really do it again.
Okay.
But I think, yeah, if you're in Bratislava for the first time, it is a cool experience for sure.
And I see it's a big round tower. Is it a revolving restaurant, perchance?
I don't know. Peter, do you know? Because I know there is another revolving restaurant, but I don't know if this one is.
Okay.
I'm not sure about this one, but the other one is definitely.
Yes.
All right.
You mean Kamzik Tower, right?
Yes, yes. Kamzik Tower is another, I would say that's another must-see, which is accessible from the Koliba borough of Bratislava, which is really easy to get to by bus from the center, by the presidential palace. So that's another cool place to go to.
Okay.
From that tower, you can set out on trips around the small Carpathians and do hikes there as well. So it's not just Železná Studenka, as Anička mentioned, where you can start these hikes, but also Kamzik.
And when you say the small Carpathians, you're talking about a series of relatively low mountains near Bratislava? Am I in the right place?
That's where this mountain range starts or ends. Depends from where you start, actually, your hike.
Okay.
If you start in Bratislava, then it's definitely the start of the mountain range.
Got it. Excellent. You were talking about different neighborhoods, and I don't know the city of Bratislava. If I'm going to come and stay in Bratislava, is there a particular neighborhood you would recommend where I stay or a particular place that you would recommend?
I suppose Staré Mesto or Old Town would be the best. Okay. It would also be the most expensive, but I would say price-wise still cheaper than a lot of other European cities for sure. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm a budget traveler, so I can tell you a lot about hostels in Bratislava.
That's fine. We have some of the listeners of the show who are going to be looking for something a little more high-end. They're looking at Old Town. If I'm looking for a hostel, what would you recommend?
So my favorite hostel is called Dream Hostel, and it's very close to what we call the Freedom Square, which isn't so far from the inverted pyramid, which is the radio tower, and that's another remarkable thing to see, I would say. But anyways, yeah, it's very accessible from the center of the town. You can walking distance, I would say, maybe 10 to 15 minutes walking to the center. And yeah, it's a really lovely hostel, still very inexpensive, but the nice thing is the rooms, each bed is equipped with a curtain and a lot of storage. Everything's very secure. The staff are very friendly. And yeah, I lived there for about 2 weeks before I found my apartment in Bratislava. Okay. So yeah, it's a nice place.
Well, and we didn't describe Bratislava, but you're talking about a city that we said it's on the Danube, and then we've hinted that it backs up against hills or mountains and a lot of green areas around it. That's my picture of it. Am I close?
Yes, that's, I think, what struck me most about Bratislava when I moved here is the proximity of nature from pretty much any part of the city. As Petra mentioned, there are the small Carpathians, which are, they don't feel so small when you're when you're hiking in them. They're really beautiful, and there's a lot of different places you can hike to. And there are a lot of really big parks as well. So, for example, I live close to Horsky Park. And it's very large, heavily forested, and a lot of winding trails. And actually, from Horsky Park, you can go to the Slavin Memorial, which is maybe 5 minutes from the park. And that's a great place to get a really good view of the city, not just of the old town, but also of Petržalka, which is the last borough before you cross into the Austrian border. So you sort of get to see like the really beautiful old architecture, but then also the communist era apartment blocks. You see how all these different styles kind of meld into a really interesting city.
Okay. And you mentioned the Slavin Memorial. So that is a Soviet memorial in the city.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It basically marks when the Soviet-led troops came into Bratislava and freed the city of fascism, basically.
Got it. Excellent. Anything else we want to do in Bratislava, or should we move on to other parts of Slovakia?
Well, you can swim in the lakes if you want to, or you can go to some festivals, because I think even though like the cultural scene there, you have a lot of venues where you can enjoy culture. So whether it's in the summer or throughout the year, you can find anything really.
Are there particular festivals you would recommend?
So in the summer, for example, there's like Uprising Reggae Festival, celebrating reggae music dance hall. So that's for me.
Reggae music, okay. Which is always what I think of when I think of Slovakia.
Probably not, but like, that's like my favorite festival. But also like if you like classic music, then in August, Viva Music Festival takes place. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend that one. And if you are looking for something more traditional, then you would have to travel outside Bratislava for sure.
Okay, excellent. Shall we talk more about the rest of the country now?
Let's do it.
All right, where should we go next?
So I would recommend either taking a train or if you can, renting a car. because I think a road trip through Slovakia is a really scenic and unique experience. Mm-hmm. But no worries if you can't do that. The trains are, they work. They're not always on time. But if you're not in a rush, then why not take a train, because you'll still get to see a lot of the country. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend taking a train at first to Zvolen, Peter's hometown. And from Zvolen, you can take another train to Banská Štiavnica, which I think is probably my favorite place in Slovakia. It's a really lovely place.
Excellent. So tell us more about Zvolen.
Well, there's not much to say, actually. But like, we do have a castle right in the city center, which you can visit. And actually, that's when I was a kid and when I went to a primary school, that's the place where I became actually a knight.
Okay.
So I would say in my hometown, you will find plenty of knights. And apart from this castle, we do have a hill above the city. And here you can find the desert castle. Mm-hmm. But that's basically just ruins. Mm-hmm. But that, it's definitely a nice hike. And then there's not much going on actually here. So I would recommend definitely going to Banská Štiavnica or other nearby towns such as Kremnica or Banská Bystrica.
Okay. Well, shall we move on? And Banská, hey, this is the only city I've been to in Slovakia, and I cannot say it to save my life. Banská, and then what's the second word?
So it's Banská Štiavnica.
Štiavnica, which is the only place I've been in Slovakia, and it is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So why are we going to Banská Štiavnica?
So the city has a very rich mining history, mm-hmm. and you can basically do this really cool experience where you pretend you're a miner. So they kit you out with an old-fashioned helmet, this sort of overcoat and a lamp, and you get to go into now an inactive mine, but for many years it drove the city and a mm-hmm. lot of the country actually. And yeah, you get a tour of the mine, you get to learn more about their methods and what it was like being a miner. It certainly wasn't an easy life, I would say, but it's interesting to see how they worked. And yeah, I have to say the tour itself when I went was in Slovak. So I'm not sure how much I absorbed. But in any case, I don't think it's often that you get to say I went down into a mine. It's a really cool experience for sure.
And I don't honestly remember what they mine in that city.
It was definitely gold and silver and these kind of things.
Okay. Interesting. And then I assume it played out, which is one of the reasons why they're not doing the mining anymore.
Yes, I'm not sure exactly when they stopped mining, but I don't think it was pretty recent, I want to say, like more recent history for sure. But yeah, no, these mines are really cool. And then from the Open Air Mining Museum, you can go to one of several tahi, which are these man-made mining lakes that were used to drive the mines. And yeah, they're really pleasant, lovely areas. A lot of hiking you can do around them. So yeah, I think that's like probably good for maybe day one in Banská Štiavnica. I would spend 2 or 3 days there if possible.
Okay.
Because as you mentioned, it is a UNESCO heritage site and it has a really lovely old town, very hilly, but mm-hmm. the buildings are just remarkable. And even the Potrivini, which is just a little market, is just gorgeous. And so, yeah, I think you want to spend a lot of time in the old town. And while you're in the old town, you can go to Banská Láska or Lásky, which is the love bank. And basically, this was created based on Slovakia's Romeo and Juliet. So the story basically goes, this poet, Andrei Sladovic, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Maybe Peter can correct me. But he wrote the world's longest love poem about this woman named Marina. And unfortunately, they were never able to marry one another. But basically, they created this love bank where people can go and store a little token of their love. I don't think it's cheap to do that, but you can still pay for a tour of the place. And it's really cool looking. It's basically like this tunnel And then each box has maybe one letter of the poem, and the poem stretches like along the tunnel. So yeah, it's a cool place to go. Probably more so a couple thing, I would say. But yeah, it's very lovely. That's basically what you can see in Old Town. And then from there, you can by foot easily go to the Calvary, which is really remarkable up on a hill. And they have these stations of the cross. And if you make it all the way to the top of the hill, you get a really lovely view of the surrounding hills and nature. And then also, if you like a good cup of coffee or tea, you absolutely have to go to the Klopotchka Tea House, which is in this really lovely old small tower type building. And they offer, I think, about 100 varieties of tea, but they also serve traditional Arabic coffee, which is just so delicious if you're a coffee drinker like myself, and they mix it with cinnamon or cardamom, for example. And they have a really lovely terrace where, again, you have a great view of the city, and they have these board games you can play, and it's also very inexpensive. So when I was in Banská Štiavnica, I think I ended up going there twice, maybe three times. So you absolutely have to go there if you're in the city.
Well, and you mentioned that they've been mining for a long time in Banská Štiavnica, and actually traces back to the 3rd century BC. The Celts were mining there in the Roman days, but the city has been there, or people have been in that area, since Neolithic times. So it's an ancient city, very interesting place. And silver, yes, is what they mined there predominantly. You were correct. Excellent. Anything else we want to do in that region before we move on, or is there more places in our itinerary?
You should definitely check out the local brewery called Erp and taste the local beer.
Okay.
Or also you could go to this cafe called the Divna Pani, which can be translated into like a strange lady, which is a beautiful cafe with old...
Strange, but beautiful lady, I'm assuming.
I've never met actually that lady, but... Yeah, it's like beautiful furniture. So I was sitting in a corner on an old couch surrounded with hundreds of old books and like very nice music there. So I would recommend that place for sure. And Anička mentioned those lakes, Taichi. So I would just add that you can also swim there. It's just like for fishing or something. You can definitely swim there in the summer. And it's very popular among locals, but also among people visiting the city just for one day or 2 days.
Okay. Is there more to the itinerary? Do we want to move on to something else?
Well, if you enjoy hiking or maybe cross-country skiing, that's also something you can do nearby the town.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you have just 7 days, I would just focus on the city center and go elsewhere. But if you have definitely more time, you can do a hike. Maybe there's like Paradise, which is sort of like a peak where you can go to, and you would have a nice view of the town as well, not just from the Calvary.
Okay. Good to know. It sounds like we maybe are wrapping up our itinerary. If we extended it by a couple days, what would you add on in Slovakia? If I had a couple more days, I really ought to see...
Yes, I think as an American, especially because we don't have castles and Slovakia has tons of castles,
right.
You definitely have to go to at least one or two castles. I personally would definitely recommend Orava Castle. It's a really beautiful castle, but it's also, I believe, Nosferatu was filmed there, and maybe another film, some sort of vampire film.
Okay.
Yes, so that's cool. And then if you go further east to Spiš Castle, that is such a remarkable castle. And I believe a few films were also filmed there as well. But yeah, it's, for me, it was like kind of jaw-dropping, to be honest, like the sheer size of this castle. So yeah, I think those are probably the two you'd want to visit if you're crunched for time.
Okay. Well, and at Spiš Castle, we're still only 2/3 of the way from the west to the east. So we haven't gone all the way across the country. And how long would it take me to drive from the western end to the eastern end of Slovakia?
Maybe 4 to 5 hours.
Okay. Not a big country, so we're not going to be difficult to see what we want to see. Excellent. As we start to wrap this up, you're standing in the prettiest spot in Slovakia. where are you standing and what are you looking at? And Sir Peter, we'll start with you.
I would say the High Tatras. That's the most beautiful spot in the country. And I mean, if you say Slovakia, then you would imagine Bratislava or the High Tatras. So definitely if you're in Slovakia.
I know where Bratislava is, but what are we talking about? What's the other place?
So the High Tatras is like a mountain range near the border with Poland.
Okay.
Basically, you will find here a number of peaks, beautiful views of the country. So I would say if you drive or you can take a train from Bratislava to Poprad, which is another town in eastern Slovakia. And from here, you can take another train to the smaller villages. And from these villages, you can start a hike or you can stay in that village in a hotel if you want to and stay there for a couple of days.
Is there a particular small village you like to start in?
Well, there's a couple. So, for instance, Tatranská Lomnica is one of the villages, or Štrba or Štrbské Pleso, Starý Smokovec, definitely. So these are the villages, small villages, easily accessible by train from Poprad.
Okay.
And from here, you can take a cable car, for instance, to a mountain hut. And from this mountain hut, you can hike to the peak.
Well, and I would tell the readers, yes, I know Slavic words don't always necessarily roll off the tongue for those of us who didn't grow up with them. We do have show notes. We'll have all of these written down in the show notes with Peter's recommendations. So that's what we do for you. And those can be found on the website and can also be found in the lyrics of this particular episode. And Anna, same question. You are standing in the prettiest spot in Slovakia. Where are you standing?
So for me, I believe I would be standing in Slovenský raj, which translates to Slovak paradise. It's a national park, very large one, sort of more eastern Slovakia.
Okay.
And what I like about Slovenský raj is they have a lot of different trails, but they're definitely geared towards the adventurous hiker.
Yes, I see lots of not just ladders, but things that would be considered bridges perhaps, but look kind of rickety.
Exactly. Yes. I don't know if they would allow this sort of trail marking in the US, which is why it's so cool. But yeah, when I went to Slovenský raj, I stayed in Spiška Nová Ves, which is quite a lovely little town in eastern Slovakia. And from there, I took a short bus to the Suha Bela Gorge trailhead.
Okay.
And yeah, basically the trail takes you, as you said, up quite tall ladders beside a gorge. And then you have a few like iron rungs hammered into the rock. And yeah, it's super cool, like really fun. And it was surprising because when I did this trail, there was a group of really small kids in front of me and they were climbing it like nobody's business. So yeah, it's a really lovely place. Maybe a little hard to get to, I would say, if you don't have a car. But in my opinion, that's part of the journey. So yeah, if you have a chance, go to Slovenský raj for sure.
Well, and you mentioned a gorge. I'm seeing a lot of waterfalls and things that are hiking by in the area.
Yes. And also I should mention, you can also access a lot of trails from Poprad, which is a nice city to go to in the Tatras. So yeah, you definitely want to decide ahead of time which trail you would prefer, because it's a really big park. So once you choose one, that's sort of, it'd be hard to do multiple trails in one day.
Okay. And you mentioned the iron things. So I think of that as the term in Europe that you get for that is via ferrata.
Mm-hmm. I think in this case, it wouldn't be classified as via ferrata, though that is a possibility in the Tatras. But you need special equipment and you may also need, I don't know, not a license, but perhaps permission. I'm not exactly sure how it works.
Got it. For a via ferrata. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. I was just trying to come up with a term. Second question. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Slovakia, and ladies first this time.
I've had that moment a lot when I'm thinking about Slovak politics, for example.
Okay.
But as this is a travel podcast, once you get out of this city, for example, when you go up north in the Orava region, it's very common you'll be sitting in an outdoor pub, for example, and then a bunch of men dressed in the traditional Slovak costume will come by, start playing their guitars and sing all of these traditional folk songs, most of which are about drinking. And it's
as well they should be.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, it's hard to exactly grasp what they are singing about, but you can be quite certain it's something to do with alcohol. But yeah, I think in general, the Slovak folklore is certainly very charming and, yeah, very alive. Even in Bratislava, you see it.
Excellent. Peter, one thing that makes you laugh and say only in Slovakia.
Well, I would say delayed trains. That makes me laugh and cry at the same time.
In what way?
When I'm trying to get somewhere and I'm really in a hurry, mm-hmm. at that particular moment, the train is late, like delayed all the time. When I'm not in a hurry, the train is always on time.
Got it.
I really enjoy traveling by train, especially when I travel to northern Slovakia from my hometown, because mm-hmm. there's one railroad with a number of tunnels, and it's like a beautiful, beautiful railroad. But like, yeah, it sometimes drives me crazy, this traveling by trains.
And does that particular route have a name?
I don't think so. No, I don't think it has a name. But like, if you take really a train from Zvolen and you pass through Kremnica or Banská Bystrica, then you will get to Martin or Žilina even in northern Slovakia. And like in between, you will experience these tunnels. I think maybe 14, it may be. So quite a thing.
Excellent. And finally, last question for both of you. If you had to summarize Slovakia in three words, what three words would you use?
I think I would say first and foremost, underrated, adventurous.
I'm getting to see that.
And lastly, it's kind of an overused word, but beautiful. It's a very beautiful country.
Okay. And Peter?
Easy to explore. That's like three words, right?
That is three words. That works. That is perfect. Our guests again have been Peter and Anna from the Spectacular Slovakia podcast. And if you Google for Slovak Spectacular or Spectacular Slovakia, we think you should be able to find it. And thank you both for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Slovakia.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
In the community section of the show, first a thank you goes out to the patrons of the show, especially to Harun Balut, who is the newest patron of the show. If you want to help support Amateur Traveler, you also can be one, and you can go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. I got feedback from Justin on the recent show on French Polynesia, who said, finally got a chance to listen to this. When he compared Papiete Market to Budapest, I looked cross-eyed, but then he explained, and I have to admit, he's spot on, and how the upper and lower levels are laid out. Budapest is way cheaper, however. Didn't check Dorito prices, however. Thanks, Justin. You know, there are some blogs that when they're talking about how things are expensive in different countries, they talk about the beer price, the price of a beer. I'm wondering if Amateur Traveler, there should be the price of a bag of Doritos. I heard from Sandra in response to the latest Amateur Traveler newsletter. Remember, you can sign up for that if you're interested. And she said, in part, thank you for keeping the dream of travel alive for many of us who can't travel during this pandemic. There's still all of Canada available if I would want to travel. However, more and more cities are in lockdown, and we are presently under curfew in Montreal. Heavy sigh. The best bang for the buck for me is to wait until things improve. For now, I will have to travel via your wonderful podcast. Wishing you a safe, travel-filled, happy new year for 2021, Sandra. And thanks so much, Sandra, and wishing you the same. And I mentioned in the latest newsletter, my wife now has her vaccination, but we have no idea what month even I will get mine, since I do not work in healthcare. And apparently some people don't think that being a travel podcaster is an essential job. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening. I got to see one more cathedral. I got to sit in one more.